praise, a wonderful time of prayer as well. How much time do I have?
All day, Harry.
You better not say that. So we're not, is there a service after that? Isn't another church come in later? Okay, all right, I got to 1 o'clock now. I want some coffee and cake. Let's just skip that. I know somebody went to a lot of trouble to put that up there, but let's just skip that. Okay. So that's my name, of course, and you can reach me on FaceTime, WhatsApp, or just regular phone call. As long as you don't talk a long time when it's a regular phone call. But if you just to contact me for any reason, you could text me. Texting is a great way to do it as well. In fact, it may be the best way if you want me to have any contact with it. But what I'm saying, why I'm giving that information, I'm available. I'm here for this week. I am here to, of course, preach now and to lead the retreat next weekend. But I'm here for you. And I don't like doing nothing. But you may have a need, or you may just want to talk. We can meet for coffee or have a meal together, which we'll each pay our own part of it if we eat out somewhere. And if we eat at your house, I can fix it. It won't be very good, but if I fix it. Whatever, or just meet somewhere, anything, I'm here. And by the way, after this service today and after we have some coffee and biscuits and such, anybody would like to go out and get a bite to eat this afternoon, we'll get a group together, whoever wants to go, and get something. And if you have a particular need at the close of the service, I'm here as well. And Gary had mentioned that he's here and others to pray for you, but really love to pray with you over any need that you have. But as I mentioned, if it's just a matter of just talking, just to talk, if you know me, reacquaint ourselves together. If you don't, to meet me, tell me your story. Okay, so I think a lot about words because that's my job, is to hear the words of people and to try to pray with them and help them through things, or for myself to speak words. And could go to the next slide, please. So words paint pictures. It may mean different things to different people. Now, if I said this phrase, and unless you're from America, it might not mean much to you, but the phrase, "I hit the ball." Now, in America, if you said, "I hit the ball," somebody would probably think about baseball, and the ball is pitched and you hit it. You may think about a football, and which you hit or something with your hand, although you're not supposed to. But it also could mean something else. It's an expression that we would say, I suppose it's an American expression as well. If somebody said, "I hit the ball," that might mean I had a great day. Or I did well on a test, or I did well on a sales presentation, or I did well on a sermon, let's say, I hit the ball. So it can mean different things, but this word glory, think about the glory that we give to God. What do you think of? What comes to your mind when you think about glory? You may think of honor, value. Value is a good term, because actually the word for glory has to do with the weight. It has to do with heaviness or weight. So that gold, for example, was very valuable. And the heavier the gold, the better, because that meant there was more of it. So we're glorifying God. We're giving God glory. He is... because he is of great value. But even if we didn't, he still is a glorious God, a God of great value. And I've put three scriptures up there for you to see. The beauty of it is that we're invited to be a part of that. You and I are invited to somehow experience that with the Lord. And that's really why He made us. Now, so I'm going to define glory for you, and this is Harry Smith's definition, but I like it, or I wouldn't say it's mine. All that God is and all that God does is His glory. All that He is and all that He does, which is all fantastic, wonderful, amazing, good. So we're invited to that. So He's saying, come on, come to Me. Jesus praying to the Father says in John 17, the glory You have given to Me, I have given to them. He's talking about us. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, to this end, through our gospel, He called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says in Ephesians, in Him we were also chosen, having been predestined, God's plan, God's destiny for you and me. He predestined according to the plan of Him, and in order for the reason that, because of, that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. Do you realize that He made you to be to the praise of His glory? Now, that seems like a lot of weight right there. It seems like a great responsibility, doesn't it? But the beautiful thing is he takes care of the whole thing when we trust Him. So it's important, but He's going to take care of it. So if you go to the next slide, the title of this message would be Our Hope of Glory. And I'm going to read the scripture there. I've got the same thing on my computer here that you have back there, so I don't have to look back all the time. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, or anything as important that comes from us. Anything that's important, anything of real value comes from God. Our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, not of rules and regulations and laws, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Capital S, Spirit, Holy Spirit. In other words, His Spirit working in our lives, of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. All the letter does, all the law does, is show us we can't keep it. All it shows us is we sin. We mess up, but it is the Spirit that gives us life, and it is the Spirit, which is the very life of God, that keeps us from being controlled by our sins and our weaknesses and all that. We still give into them on occasion, maybe sometimes too often, but when we trust Him and we realize that His life is in us, then that glory begins to come out. I was reading this morning, and the devotional thought that was given to me that I look at daily was this idea of Christ leading us in a triumphal, it speaks of a triumphal parade after a great military victory. And they, in those days, they would throw perfume out as they walked in this parade, and much like today, they throw candy out or something, I guess, in parades. And so we're in this triumphal procession as the Holy Spirit leads us, and we're giving off this aroma, the Bible says, that others can almost breathe it, can touch it, feel it. And it's not us. It's the Spirit working in us, not because we obey rules, but because His life is in us, which causes us to actually obey the rules, or at least to do better in obeying them. And then it says that we have this... And by the way, I would suggest you read the whole thing. Excuse me, it's not a thing. It's God's Word. That you would read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, through 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It's really all one great big thought. I'd read it right now, but I'm going to read other scriptures, so I don't want to go to 1 o'clock. But it does say later on in that last verse that of that section, verse 4, verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay, earthen vessels, it says in one of my favorite translations, in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. In other words, we're containers. We contain, if you're a believer in Christ, you're a container. And if you don't believe in him, you open yourself up and surrender to him, he'll come in and you'll contain him. And so this, think about glory now. Go to the next slide. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. That is what we're going to be talking about next weekend. Christ in you, through his Spirit, the hope of glory. And we're also going to be thinking about this verse backing up into chapter 3 again. We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So God's in a transforming process where people are beginning to see, feel, know who he is as he works through us, as he's changing us. And somehow, you know, if you trusting in Christ, wherever you go, that he's going with you. And you don't have to try to be Christ-like. In fact, the harder you try, the worse you'll do. You just trust him and let him be himself in you. And folks, it works. It works because it's not us, it's God. So, let me show you one way that this works here. Okay, it's tea time for me. Somewhere in the world, it's tea time. So, I'm going to pour some water. Well, I don't know how these things work. Let's see. Well, I don't know. Anyway, I know there's water in there. There we go. Nice hot water. At least it's still hot. Tea bag in the water. Now, this is not just because I want some tea. In fact, I'm probably not going to drink it because I like something sweet in it. Now, let's just say that, let's just keep going before I give you what it all has to do. All right. Now, once it seeps and gets the flavor into the water, you probably will say, I'm drinking tea. But technically, you're not drinking tea. You're drinking tea-flavored water. This is the tea. The tea is here. But when the tea bag or the tea, it could be in any sort of container that can, the water can come out, I mean the flavor can come out, goes into the water begins to become like tea. It tastes like tea because the tea bag is in it. Now, if we think of this tea bag as Jesus, you invite him into your life, he comes in, and it begins to flavor your life, and to others, you begin to taste like Jesus. You're not Jesus. You never will be, never, in all eternity, we will never be the complete eternal Son of God that Jesus is. But people will see us and they'll say, they'll think of Jesus. Well, they may not think of Jesus because, you know, there are probably people who don't know what tea is. So, but they might say, I don't know what that is, but it sure tastes good. I don't know what that is, but it makes me feel, relaxes me, or the caffeine picks me up a little bit. So you'll obviously, you're going to run into people, they're not going to say, boy, I tell you, burned. Burned is Jesus. No, some might. But they're going to say, you know, there's something about that man. I can't even put my finger on it, but there's something about him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somehow expressing God to others. So let's just think about this idea of the tea bag and the tea. You know, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So the first thought is that he comes in and so he radiates out from us. Christ in me, that's radiating. And go ahead. Yeah. So you take something in. When you take something in into your and you drink it, let's say, then it may have some effect outside. In other words, it may come out. I drank some coffee this morning. Usually, when I drink coffee, the caffeine causes me to be more talkative. You ought to be thankful I didn't drink a lot of coffee just before I started preaching. But anyway, it makes me talk more. It comes out. It radiates out of me. So what you take in takes you in many, many ways. If it's healthy food or drink or vitamins or something, it makes you live better, feel better. It radiates out of you, if you understand that. Now, that's the concept of Christ in me. Now, the next one is beholding Him. That's the idea, is we behold Him, we're changed. That has to do more with reflection, because He's both in us, but He's still out there. So you can look inward if you're a believer. You can look inward, and He's there, but you can also look outward. So we look out, and we see His glory out there in so many ways, don't we? The creation and the beauty of it and what the Scriptures tell us. And so we begin to reflect Him, much like the sun reflects, the moon reflects the sun. And the moon can get very bright at night, can it, when it's properly in relationship. So it is a question of relationship. It is a question of relationship, both to radiate out of you. You have to have Him in you. That's pretty strong relationship. When you eat food, you have a pretty strong relationship with it. It's pretty intimate. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Speaks of a lot of intimacy. It's a spiritual concept of His life coming into us. Relationship. And then reflecting is the same way, as we'll see in a moment with another little silly illustration of mine. So we'll look at creation. Next slide, please. This idea of taking it in. At the very beginning, when Adam was made, back in the very first book of the Bible, in the second chapter, describing in detail what it expressed in more general sense, excuse me, in chapter 1. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. So God breathed His life into this formed body, but no person, and he became a living creature. He immediately had God's life in him. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden. And by the way, I live in the city of Eden in North Carolina, in the east. And there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So He placed this tree, two trees, there are a lot of trees, but there were two in the middle, and the one we're going to talk about briefly is the tree of life. That's where Adam continued to take in. He would eat that tree, and that was to be to give him life, not just physical life, but that was to give him spiritual life. It represents a relationship with God. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, talking to His believers. So that kind of runs through Scripture in many different ways, that He is that tree of life, and we come to Him and we take Him in. We take Him in. We can also see it in the Scripture that I mentioned over in chapter 1, this idea of looking back to the way we were first created. Then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And He made them, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. So to be created in His image, you know what an image is. It's something that looks like the real thing, right? So let's see here. Patrick, would you help me, please? Would you stand here and hold this? Just so people can see it. I don't know, not everybody's going to be able to see this. Maybe nobody can. That's good. That's really not good. No, turn it towards me. I kind of like looking at myself here. Now, point to my picture, if you would, there, Patrick. Point to me. You see me? Right. Okay, that's close enough. Turn it down a little bit. No, up. Oh. All right, right there. Yeah, okay. Now, if you can see my face there, so I guess you'd have to be sitting kind of in the middle. That's not me. This is me. But that looks like me, unfortunately. That looks like me, but that's not me. That's my image. If you were to look at that, it could be the same with a photograph. If you were to look at that, you might say, that's Harry, but you'd be wrong. You'd just say, that looks like Harry, because it is a pretty good image of me. Thank you. Appreciate that. So we were made like that. We are not God. We'll never be God. Couldn't be God. But we're to look like Him. We were made to remind the rest of creation of God. So we're radiating out that life that was within us, that He breathed into Adam and has breathed into all of us to give us life. We were meant to eat of the tree of life, which is Jesus, to take Him in, to be our life, and that radiates out of us. But we also have a relationship with Him who we keep our eyes on Him, our eyes focused on Him, and we reflect Him as well. And that plays out in that image. But of course, we blew it, didn't we? We messed it up. We gave it all up. We would call it an exchange. Next slide. Because it wasn't long before Adam ate of that other tree. And Eve, his wife, actually, she was the first one. Women always getting men into trouble. And she ate it and then gave it to him. And so here's what happened. Described beautifully in Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they're without excuse. People must know there's a God. How can there be all this if there isn't a God? I mean, it's just... So anyway, I continue to read. Next slide. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God. They knew, there has to be a God, but they just said, we'll do our own thing. We'll do it ourselves. But they didn't give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking. Boy, if this describes our current Western society. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise. Oh, we think we're so smart today, so enlightened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And exchanged, gave up the glory of the immortal God, made in His image. We gave it up. I'll take the other glory, which is no glory at all. They gave that for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. In other words, they gave it up for something God made rather than the Creator Himself, as it says. Go to the next slide. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God, a truth about God, for a lie. Satan told them a lie. You're better off doing it on your own, not trusting God. His glory is nothing compared with the glory I can give you, for a lie. And worshipped and served the creature or the creation or the things God made rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And then it goes on to talk about all the results. And it's not just in that. This is not just about homosexual activity. But it's just showing how all the debased stuff, all the things that are so against God happen. It's just It's just a natural result. God gave them over. He just said, okay. Hey, you want to do it? Go your own way? Go ahead, fine. You want your own glory? You want to trust in yourself or other people or your own wisdom? Fine, go for it. See what happens. And so we end up with a kind of a morality that exists in our world today. And to the extent we don't trust Him and honor Him, our lives will have a little bit of that as well. Maybe a lot, unfortunately, but a little bit of that. But the beautiful thing is, next slide. 1 Samuel 4, verse 22. I wish I could go into this a little bit, but 1 Samuel 4, verse 22. Right after the Ark of God, which represented the presence of God in the Old Testament, had been captured by the enemy, this woman named her child Ichabod. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured. Because they did the same thing. They gave that glory up. So she named the child Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. She realized it. That they'd given it up. They'd exchanged it. Hosea mentions it as well in Hosea 4, verse 7. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. And then, of course, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Gave it up. But He came and take care of it in Jesus Christ. Redemption, next slide. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, I tell you what I love. I love those but gods. We got into a mess, but God. I did a terrible thing, but God. I'm having a rough time right now in my life, but God. I'm fighting some really terrible things going on with my body or with my relationship with my parents or my children or somebody at work. But God, no matter what kind of a mess we get into it, but God, God is the redeeming God. God is the one who takes something that is a mess and makes it better. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive, all believers, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It's a gift. It's nothing you earn. He gives it to you. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's relationship. Seated with us in spiritual places, the high places where it's not just He saved us. If you've trusted Him that He saved us from the mess we were in, our own sins, our own problems and difficulties and stuff we make because of our own going our own way. But He's lifted us up to His level, not just kind of in between good and bad, but up to His level. Because of Him, not our goodness, it's His goodness that we participate in. So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So we made that exchange, but He exchanged back by dying on a cross for our sins. I don't know if you're familiar with the wonderful Bible teacher who's now gone to be with the Lord, is Major Ian Thomas. He's a wonderful British Bible teacher, but he had these little pithy sayings, I guess you'd call them, like things like, Jesus lived the life that He lived, which is perfect life. Jesus lived the life that He lived so that He could die the death that He died. Living a perfect life, He could take our sins upon Himself and pay the penalty for our sins. He had never sinned. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So He didn't exchange. He gave up all He had so that we could give up all we have if we want to, which is nothing. It's our own glory. It's terrible. So that we could have what He has. So He died the death that He died so that we can live the life that He lived. So now we can live in victory and triumph in relationship with Him because He died and rose again. And So there's a kind of a re-exchange there. And the idea is we begin to look like him. Next slide, Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. It's his goal to form us like a sculptor would take this block of granite and chip away all the stuff that wasn't of him, so eventually we'd look like Jesus. Hebrews 2 verses 9 and 10. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of his death, so that by the grace of God, the goodness, the giftedness of God, he might taste death for everyone. We don't have to die, at least not in the real sense of the word, physically, of course, but not really die. Taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. So his whole idea of dying on the cross was to bring us up to that level, bringing us to glory. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God, because of his work, now Christ in you, the hope of glory, returning to that position that we were, that Adam was made in, and all of us were in some sense created in, but lost it, left it, rejected it. Each in our own way rejected it, so that we can begin to look like him. And then it says in the next slide here in 2 Corinthians, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As we look to him, we can reflect that glory out. Tastes almost like tea. That's it. I may have used this illustration before, but about 20 years ago or so, maybe 15 years ago, my father had passed away died three or four years earlier, and I went to see an old friend of his. This old friend knew that my father had died, but had not seen my father for maybe 10 or 15 years prior to that. So he finally remembered my dad, but they separated as far as distance. And I'd met this man maybe two or three times in my life. But I was in where he was living, and I wanted to go see him because I knew he'd been a good friend of my father. So I didn't tell him I was coming. I just went to his house and knocked on the door. He came to the door. And I have never in my life had anyone look at me with such a look of shock in my life. He knew my father had died. He took one look at me, and the only explanation for that look on his face had to be he thought I was my father. That really got to me. I loved my father. He was a wonderful man. That anybody would think I looked like him. Man. That was out of a relationship. Yeah, I had his genes, for sure. That was one of the reasons. I had his genes. He was in me. His life was in me. So I was going to look like him a little bit anyway. But also, throughout my whole life with him, I admired him, I looked to him, I listened to him, I talked to him. And almost by accident, I began to pick up some of his mannerisms, his way of walking, talking, standing, looking. So it was not just the genes in me, but it was the relationship I had there as I beheld him. And as I admired him and almost in a human sense worshiped him, I think you get my point. Christ in you, the hope of glory, as we behold him, transform into his image from one end of glory to the other. Let's pray. God, you're a glorious God. We tremble at times when we think somehow we're part of that. Help us to trust you, God, to know your life is in us. And if there are people here, God, I know who maybe I can't say that your life is in them. And I pray, God, they can know that when they open their life to you and give themselves to you and surrender to you as Lord, that a dynamic thing will begin to happen. And I pray, God, it will begin to happen to all of us, to change us more and more to be like you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have another song? Okay.